Good morning, friend. We're going to pick up this morning where we left off in yesterday's broadcast. We were talking about Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. You might want to turn in your Bible if you have a copy of the scripture at hand. If you care to make notes, by all means, do so. In this connection, let me say this. I've been receiving correspondence from people asking about tapes of the broadcast. You have a choice in this. If you are interested in this material, you can get it in a couple different formats. If you'd like to have it on CD, we can burn a CD for you. If you are interested in having it in audio cassette form, that is also available. If you would please, if you are interested, what we would like to have you do is to make sure we get your full mailing address, okay? We need that. This is not for the purpose of sending you prayer letters and, whiny letters saying, please send us your money. But rather, if you're interested in getting this material, we have to know where to send it. Secondly, it would help a great deal if you knew what you wanted. Some of these series, for instance, the Book of Romans is a very lengthy study, and if you wanted the whole thing, it's going to be a number of cassettes. And if you would, when you make your request, let me know what you want. It'll cut down on the amount of time we spend juggling correspondence back and forth. If you would like, it may speed things along. If you wanted to include your phone number, this will be kept in confidence. We're not selling phone numbers, and we're not going to harass you, but it would cut down on time. If you're interested in getting the material and you'd like to have a living, breathing body to talk to, include your phone number, and we'll be glad to call you back. Okay, let's see. Anything else I need to mention on that line? Let me say this, as well as those who are requesting materials, if you just, I don't know how to explain this without sounding, kind of pitiful. it means a great deal when we get a letter or a card or a phone call from listeners who will say, this broadcast is helping me. Of course, for that matter, if you want to call and, chew somebody out, well, you can do that too. But it does let us know you're listening. It also helps us to get some idea how far the broadcast is being heard. Being broadcast out of Point Pleasant, I really don't know how far up the River Valley it goes and how far across country. So, we can guess, but if you're listening and you'd like to help us a little bit, we'd appreciate just a word, saying I live, in this place or this many miles from Point Pleasant and get the broadcast. And I'd be glad for any comments you care to make about the broadcast. As far as the materials go, we make them available at cost. Nobody's getting rich on this. You write us or call us and say, okay, this is what I want. This is the scripture references. Or if indeed you do want the entire series on a book, by all means, let me know. And let me know what kind of format you want, whether you want audio cassette or CD. Let me suggest this. CDs are much more economical. If you have a CD player, we can go ahead and set that up for you. Tapes, we're able to get about four if I use a C60. We can use a C90, a 90-minute tape, but the problem is the tape is so much thinner. While you can get more material on it, it'll not last as long. Even high-quality C90s will bleed from one layer of tape to another, and over a period of time, you won't be happy with that. But if we use C60s, which I think is a better, longer-lived medium, we can get about four programs per tape on one audio cassette. And as I said, that's going to take up space, and they are more expensive when you start laying a stack of these things down in comparison to the cost of a CD. So, at any rate, of course, if you want to go ahead and send a little more other than just the cost of the materials as far as the cost of the cassettes or CDs, then, you know, of course, we'll apply that to the expenses here on getting this broadcast out. Okay. I hope that's not been too much material between yesterday and today as far as our look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Been talking about the area of music. The object of Christian music is the Lord. You'll notice at the conclusion here of verse 16, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, not the audience, not the congregation. Now, granted, there are some styles of song. Now, I'm not talking about performance styles. I'm talking about the structure. Whether we're talking about a gospel song, whether we're talking about an anthem, a hymn, all these things have different structures and usually different audiences in mind. A gospel song is directed more toward the audience, toward the congregation. It has to do with some application of the Word of God. It has some aspect of personal testimony involved. In that case, then, okay, the audience is the intended recipient of that piece of music. It is geared, or supposed to be geared, on drawing them closer to the Lord, exposing them to something in the Scripture. But I want you to notice, please, before we leave the idea of what this music is supposed to accomplish, we've got to look at the middle of verse 16. Let's go back now and start again, verse 16, from the beginning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. The word admonish means warning. We don't like admonishment per se, because it has a tendency, I'm afraid, sometimes in the context to be looked at as nagging or, oh, come on, get off it, don't be so narrow-minded or whatever. But notice, please, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching, the idea of imparting knowledge, admonishing is going to have to do with the idea of how you apply this. Sometimes there are things that people entertain in their lives without really understanding the impact of it. And as the Word of God is applied, then questions are raised about the validity of the existence of that thing in a person's life. And it's time to clean house, time to get rid of it. There is a place for admonishing. A ministry that is geared solely on admonishing becomes very quickly identified as being negative. And everybody knows that anything that's negative is politically incorrect and people don't like it. Okay, but you'll notice it says teaching and admonishing one another. Now notice the context. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now indeed, if it does, then any area that you have knowledge of, as you impart that knowledge, the word of God has some influence or some impact on how that's applied. Now, when it comes to the idea of admonishing, sometimes there are things that the Scripture says, very cut and dried, very point blank, here it is, and people say, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but they don't go ahead and make the connection. How does that apply? I had a Sunday school teacher one time who taught the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament at least. This individual would go ahead and read the lesson and talk about the details of what happened in that particular setting, and that was it. And I asked later, I said, well, aren't you making application? And the teacher said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, it's not enough simply to teach an Old Testament story and teach it as history. You need to understand there's an application to be made here. Okay, so David went out and killed a giant. If that's all the student gets out of it, you're leaving a wealth of information out of it. The application needs to be made. Sometimes this idea of admonishing comes down pretty hard on some pet hobbies that we have. And I say hobbies, I'm not talking about whether you're into needlepoint or woodworking. I'm talking about the idea of something that you really like a hobby horse. We don't see it much anymore, and if you know what a hobby horse is, you're probably too old. I remember what a hobby horse was. I remember as a child at my grandfather's place, they had an old hobby horse. It had real horse hair in its tail and in its mane, and you could get on that horse And it rocked back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you could ride that thing till you wore yourself out. And many a kid has done this. Wear themselves out and never get anywhere. You don't get across the room. You don't ride down the road. It's just you ride, but it's not going anywhere. And there are a lot of things that people do this. This illustrates the idea. They work it. They talk about it. They preach on it. They hammer on it. And it never goes anywhere. There's no real practical application to some of this stuff. However, when you start applying the Word of God, now the application becomes something alive. Now, you'll notice he says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice what this says about the content of the lyrics of, quote-unquote, Christian music. Christian music, the content, the lyrics, what it says has an impact. I don't care what it says, it has an impact. That impact can be positive, or unfortunately, it can be negative, and entirely too often it is negative. Perhaps not by design, but because of a careless attitude toward the Word of God, the things that are said are not biblical. They're not right. And that's a sad thing, because there are people who, oh man, did you hear so-and-so do this? Or, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? And people get hooked on the emotional content of a piece of music rather than the truth of the lyrics that's supported by the music. I give an illustration, and I realized I could start a firestorm with this. Several years ago, there was a song that was popular. Everybody had to do it. It was called "The King is Coming." Gaither wrote it, and everybody, man, this is great, and it has every hook in it known to the songwriter's art. The modulations going from one verse to the next, going up a half step, next verse, up a half step, go to the chorus, go up a half step, keep going half step, half step, half step. Now, physiologically and psychologically, what happens every time you change the key and go up a half step, you raise the emotional impact of what you're saying. And people got hooked on this song because of what it did to them emotionally. Intellectually, it missed the mark by a ball field's width. I mean, it was way off the mark. For instance, as I recall, the words went along the lines of, the king is coming through the gate. What gate? When it talks about the king coming through the gate and the carpenters lay down their tools and everybody goes out to meet him. Excuse me, can you give me chapter and verse on that? Where in the Bible do you find that? Oh, you're just being too picky. That was figurative. No, my friend, you're missing the point. The proper kind of construction in composition, whether it's both musical and lyrical, has to do with being accurate. It must be trustworthy. It is expected to teach. It is expected to admonish. And if your music doesn't do that, you have a weakness in your musical program. Now, whether you're a musician performing it, a singer singing it, or whether you're somebody who buys it and listens to it, if it does not teach you Bible, and I mean it needs to be clearly presented, this is what the Bible says. There are too many things that are left out there very fuzzy, warm and fuzzy, but nothing in sharp detail. I'm going to have to come back to this tomorrow. I'm running out of time. I hope you'll join me. I hope this is interesting enough. I hope it's controversial enough. You'll want to come back and join me for tomorrow's discussion as we continue in Colossians 3. See you then, okay? Bye-bye.